Hi, I'm Jill Whelan.
And I'm Leah Mangum, your host of Empty Nesters. Today's guest is Laura Layton. You might know her from Melrose Place or Pretty Little Liars.
Coming up on Lunchtime Conversations right here on Sunshine 96.7, Radio St. Pete, streaming worldwide.
Hey, I'm Leah Mangum.
And I'm Jill Whelan.
And welcome to Empty Nesters. And we have a wonderful guest today. We have Laura Layton, who we love. You know her from Pretty Little Liars. You know her from Melrose Place. And she has a wonderful podcast right now. She's a mom of four.
And a Hallmark movie coming
and
out.
And a Hallmark movie.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So how are you?
Christmas on Honeysuckle Lane, right?
Oh. Well, that one, I'm lucky enough to have done that one a few years ago.
Right.
And because Christmas is coming up, they'll just keep airing it in perpetuity.
Yes.
So it's so fun to have a Christmas movie. Yeah.
I love that. Wonderful. How fun. And what time of year did you shoot it? Like August?
I think it was September.
Oh,
it was
not
like,
too bad.
It was lovely, like fall into like Halloween season. So the Connecticut town when we were shooting had like their Halloween decorations out. And we had to shoot around them and like dribble snow around and make it look like Christmas. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. And your podcast is Still the Place.
Still the Place. Yeah. We're doing a Melrose Rewatch podcast. It's super fun. I guess it's the thing to do is have a podcast.
Yeah.
Congratulations to you guys.
Thank you.
The show is so wonderful. I listen to it all the time. I was a Melrose junkie. We had like parties, watching parties, just loved it. And this is so cool. And my friends and I, the same friends from that long ago, are still listening to your podcast.
So I love it.
And we text about it. And just wonderful guest stars and all your co-stars. It's really a great show.
Thank you. Love to hear
so
that.
Glad you're
so
doing
much.
This.
I love that. And we're Aaron Spelling babies.
Exactly.
Exactly.
From
good
that
boss.
Same family.
Yes.
Yeah,
he was
right.
A great boss. Did you
sure
find
was.
Him to be a great boss?
I did. Yeah. Very loyal. And it was a great family to be a part of.
And he treated the actors really well.
Yep. Mm.
Which was
nice.
A wonderful thing. So
really nice.
Tell us about, we started this podcast because we didn't have anything else to do. Our kids were out of the house.
We're like, what's next?
And we needed to figure something else out to do. And we thought, well, we can't be the only ones. There have to be a lot of us.
Yeah.
So what was that like for you?
Well, I'm sort of an interesting empty nester. Like mine, because my kids are so spread in mm-hmm. age, mm-hmm. it was kind of a slow roll for us.
Me too. Like 10 years apart.
Yeah. So like we had one leaving. Our first was leaving for college when our last was starting kindergarten.
Mm.
So we got to get sort of used to the idea of what does this look like when your kid leaves the house?
Right.
But at the same time, then you still have the rest of the kids that you're sort of this new version of the family at home. And then it was just kind of a slow roll till finally the last, our baby is out of the house now too. And at the same time, when our baby was leaving for college, our older daughter was having a baby. So we became grandparents at the time that we would have been complete empty nesters in the college phase of empty nesting. So we kind of have a unique, like, overlapping thing, which I consider kind of a gift. You know,
we never really
had to go, okay, now what, you know?
That house was quiet.
Still, I mean, you know, they obviously have their own home and their own family and they're doing their thing, but it just sort of, the idea of when you become an empty nester, like what are you letting go of? What are you missing in your mm-hmm. life? And for us, it was a lot of like the thing that your children did in high school, like the activities, you become immersed in those things. You know, we were attending every sporting event and whatever. And so it's also been nice for us that when our kids went to college, they continued to play sports. And I was like, oh, we can travel now go see them do their sport in some other state now that they're in college. And so like a little bit of like a tapering off of those things that were our comfort zone and our sort of identity, like as parents, you know, we're spectators of this and we have enjoyed watching that.
Right.
We get to still do that while they're in college. It's really when that ends that you kind of go, oh
my gosh,
it's like, that's really closing the door on a long chapter.
Friendships are weird. Our kids all went to school together. And the friendship thing for Jonathan and I are weird because our last one just went to college. And we're like, okay, so our friends, a lot of them moved to where their kids are.
Yeah.
Some of them are separated or not together anymore. And so we're like, who are our couple friends or who are our friends? And I'm going back to friends from 30 years ago. Like I'm taking dance class and dancing with some of my friends from back then. So is there something new that you're doing or... a new hobby or something that you had done maybe before and now you've picked up again?
I think that's such a great point. And I think everybody goes through it is like, we do. We find our friendships in the people that our kids are going to school with and their parents.
Absolutely.
And then when that changes, it's like, which ones of those parents do you being friends with? Like,
exactly.
And you're right. And people are moving and sort of like looking at their life differently now. Like, I need to follow my kids and what might that look like? And so, I mean, for me, my podcast was sort of, it coincided with the same thing that you're doing.
So you
know, it was just, and I get to revisit my old friendships from my 20s that, you know, we weren't parenting together so much for all those years, but coming back together, those friendships are like adult friendships that we're revisiting. It's super fun. And then, and I think, you know, you're right. Like you start asking, what are my hobbies? Like, what am I, what do I do with myself?
Right.
And just trying to like keep those alive or find something new, playing pickleball. Like,
right.
I'm a cliche. I play pickleball.
But it's so interesting.
Come take dance with me. You should take dance class with me. It's
I'm
really fun.
Totally intimidated to take dance with you, but I am intrigued and I just might. I might because I would love to.
It's so interesting though, because those relationships that you're talking about, you're hanging out with your younger friends, which I totally get. All my friends from high school, now we have a group text all the time and we get together and we do that. But you think about your relationship with your spouse and it's almost like you reintroduce yourself to your spouse and you're back to who you were when you started dating before kids, but you're doing that with those friends too. And it's like, well, do I like them without the kids involved in our life? Or do we, was that the only reason we had a connection?
Yeah.
And then you're also doing it with yourself because who you are as a mom is obviously super different than who you are as an individual. There's so many changes and reinventions and reintroducing yourself to who you are. How was it for your kids as each one? Because I'm interested in knowing, like, when one goes out of the house, how was it for the other ones? Was it hard for them, the missing, the...
Yeah, I mean, we had a distinct moment with our first... She was away in college and it was her first Christmas home. And so she was back for those few weeks that, you know, you get for your Christmas break when you're in college. And when she had to get on the plane and go back to her college, which was in Connecticut, my son was, I think, in fourth grade at the time. And he was emotional. He was so sad to say goodbye to her that day. And he was so emotional. And here's this like boy who just couldn't contain himself. And he went to school that day and his teachers were like, he was falling apart in the sweetest, most, genuine, loving way, missing his sister. And it was an adjustment. And then you get them back for these precious moments and these precious weeks. And it's just like never enough. And even for the siblings, I think it's just like, oh, I miss, you know, my sisters. And so it's, you know, we're getting used to it. And I also feel like the college age empty nesting thing is like an intermediate stage of empty nesting because it's kind of a limbo thing. They come back for the holidays or they come back for their summers or the breaks or whatever. Right. They don't quite have a family of their own or a house of their own. But like, we also have this example of that because of the age gap with our kids. So we have two that have officially started their own families. And that's a whole different phase of empty nesting that like, okay, that's really an adjustment. Finding like, okay, now we're sharing holidays and splitting that time in a different way. And it's so autonomous, you know, like they really have complete independence and autonomy. And
They're not going to boomerang back.
Nope.
Like the college ones.
Yeah. There's no revolving door. And, and you just have to think about, okay, so is our family home set up so that everybody can be together at any point now that everybody has a spouse and maybe kids or whatever. And it's just like, oh, well, that's kind of a different house than the one we raised them in.
Right.
Because once you double the size of your family with everybody's spouses and kids, that's a different house. So that conversation, it is, that's a bed and breakfast for sure. And like, and where is that? And that conversation starts to happen. Like, do we need to find a different place to, you know, have this last phase of our life just like to make that happen.
Sure.
It's kind of hard to have that happen in LA. I think to have a property that
can fit everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. When you have four kids and double that, so.
Then you're all about family. I mean, they are an you guys are an incredible family, but it's just your holidays, and you really put family first during all those years that you were raising kids. And well, you had a career while you were doing it, which was really impressive.
Yeah, it's hard to mix that, especially
our
careers.
And you do the same thing. You were very much, yeah, for sure.
It's, you know, it's long hours and,
Yeah. Unpredictable.
How was that for you? I mean, how did you... manage that?
I feel like I definitely shifted my priorities when I was sort of in prime parenting years, you know, like I didn't prioritize my career as much. It was really like, I didn't want to take jobs that were out of town.
Right.
I would only take jobs that were in town until the kids were older and stuff. And I think that that was the choice I made. And that's just the value that I had and what I wanted to be doing and how I wanted to be doing it. Right. But I definitely did sort of choose and make a deliberate, you know, priority.
I think you have to. If you make the decision to have kids, you can't just farm them out.
Yeah.
So to speak. I did the same as you did. I just kind of really took a break unless it was something that really could fit into the schedule that, you know, between baseball and basketball.
Exactly. And just like the day to day, like it's hard to farm that out and feel good about it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think it's, I hate to say it, but I think it's easier for dads to, you know, to be like, okay, I can take a job out of town for a while or whatever. And we'll, you know, I don't know, it just, at least for our family, that was a natural, it was easier. For Doug to,
and I didn't mind that when the kids were home, I would say go travel. Do you know what I mean? Like I didn't want to leave them, so I didn't mind staying home. You know, if I had the choice to go travel and work or stay home, I'd much rather stay with the kids.
Right. So now that they're all out of the house, I know my husband and I do this sometimes. Sometimes now I will go with him on work trips, and sometimes if I'm shooting or doing a play or something, he'll come.
Yeah.
Hang out with me because he can, he works remotely. So it's a lot easier for him to do that.
Well, and it's a luxury, I think, to be able to say, now I'm not at the mercy of my kids' sports schedule every weekend where there's a tournament or whatever. Like I'm free to do it, you know, what traveling I want to do without having that same dictating my schedule. And so, so Doug's out of town right now. He's actually doing a play. And so, it's been nice. Like I went out for opening weekend. I'll go back for closing weekend. And, you know, we'll go to water polo tournaments with one kid or, you know, for the last 4 years, we're going to baseball tournaments with another. So that sort of traveling on our terms was great.
Yeah.
You know,
and your husband's Doug Savant, Desperate Housewives, Melrose Place, wonderful guy.
Also an actor.
What were we thinking?
What were we both thinking?
No, you have a wonderful, wonderful family. It's great.
So, okay, so your hobbies now are pickleball, and
I'm embarrassed to actually count that as a hobby. I'm
like,
I'm a beginner, so I don't know if I even get to like put that on the hobby list
yet. I'm at four today. I'm not joking.
Well, good for you. All right,
I'm less than a beginner, but I plan to start.
Okay,
we've been moving back and forth, trying to take care of my mom. We just lost my dad not too long ago, and so it's been every weekend here. And we made a big move, and we haven't been to our house on a weekend in 3 months. So
That's hard.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it.
I know.
I'm very selfish and I'm okay
She's happy with it.
I'm very happy.
But,
I see you all the time.
This is going to be the first, this coming up weekend, we move into our house, which we've totally redone.
Oh, fantastic.
And so we're going to move in and now it's going to be like, okay.
Do you have a pickleball court?
We don't, but we're going to find
about it.
We're thinking about it. So there's that. But so pickleball for you, it is a hobby.
And it's, you know,
exercise.
Really what it is for me, it's a group of women, all of us with, you know, kids that are gone from the house. And it's really great, like ladies' night time, you know, bunch of middle-aged women playing pickleball. And it's more about having that regular get together than the pickleball itself. The pickleball is just an excuse. So.
Well, it brings it back to the reason you're such good friends with your kids' friends' parents is because you're sharing all the same experiences at the same time.
Yeah.
And so now it's a different season of life for us. So now you're hanging out with those women who are empty nesters too and sharing those moments. Cause it's hard to relate to somebody who doesn't understand what it means to drop your kid off at the airport for their first year of college and you know, yeah. all that stuff.
Yeah.
And if they call, you're like, I have to go. I've done that to you. You've done that to me. We're in the middle of doing something. And she's like, Grant called. I'm like, all right, go, go. Yeah. What does he want?
Yeah.
The worst. We're terrible.
It never stops. I mean, if the phone rings and it's a kid, you just
give me a second.
Drop everything.
Talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We always do epic fails. Do you have any parent fails? Mine was putting Austin in a box and watching him go down the stairs, thinking it was going to be like a cartoon as he rolled and hit his head all the way down. So hopefully yours is not that violent as mine, but he's okay.
I don't know if I have one like that. We did have a couple of broken limbs, but none of them were my fault. But I don't know, epic fail. I don't know. I guess maybe in general, I think like something I wish I'd done better is just like getting out of their way a little bit
amen.
More.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
it's hard.
It's really hard. Like when you want the best for your children,
yeah.
that if they're not asking for advice, I shouldn't have been offering it as much as I was. And I'm still learning that.
It's still the hardest thing ever.
But I feel like that's what I'm kind of not yet fully succeeding at. I'm trying. I'm working on
it. It's really hard because you see the path they're going down and you know that they could make it easier if they just hear that one thing that we could say. And it's like,
and that
no,
is
they got to
our job.
They got to make the mistake or they're not going to learn it.
And even just like learning that as a parent, learning that sooner, like now that they're out of the house, it's a lot easier to go, okay, this is your journey and yours to figure out.
Right. Because it's not on the daily.
And it's a little easier to take that step back. But I wish I'd done it sooner, you know, and just really allowed them to figure stuff out. And I think about like generationally, like we had we did not have parents that were really...
We had a phone book
on
and
top
a map.
Of the situation.
That
yeah,
was right.
We were
when the street lights come on,
and so maybe a quarter in our pocket for I just think we're doing them a disservice by not kind of.
I think so.
Doing that same thing, but yeah,
I think so.
Sometimes you realize it too late.
I know.
I'm still trying to figure it out, but it's in my bones. Like my son asked some, my son didn't ask. My son was talking, and I started telling him how I felt, and I just heard Jonathan go. And our son said, Dad, what's up? And he goes, oh, no, I'm reading something on the internet. And I was like, I know that was for me. There's no doubt.
You heard between the lines right there.
That was your cue.
And our son's like, okay, go. This makes sense.
It's hard. And you just,
We're
still learning.
I mean, somebody said one time to me that, you know, it's the first time for me to be this age.
Yep.
And be this parent at this time. And it's, you know, it's the first time for them. We know that. But we have to sometimes give ourselves a little grace in understanding there's no playbook here for us to figure it out. And our kids are not a monolith either. And what works for this one may not necessarily work for this one. And it's...
Absolutely.
It's a hard.
And the kids finally, I think, start to see you as that flawed human, you know, and being able to say, I'm so sorry. This is the first time I'm doing this in this way and I'm still figuring it out.
Yeah.
And for them, I think they're old enough now to be able to see that and sort of respect it and understand it.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like that's almost your nugget of advice too, even though you think that was your epic fail, which is... All of our
fail.
Do you have, or is that your nugget of advice that you would give to?
To myself or to others?
Nugget of advice. I'm going to say to others.
I'm going to say to others.
You can't be so hard on yourself. We have to give each other a break.
I think you're right. Maybe it is the same nugget of advice. It's like, okay for them to fail and maybe wait to offer the advice until they're asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
oh my God, it's
That's
so
wonderful.
Hard.
That's wonderful.
It's the best advice and it's the hardest.
And I can't say that I'm following it all the time. I'm trying.
I think we all do. And I don't think I feel it.
I do that. When I know I'm going there, my shoulders go up and I'm like, stop. But I know I'm in it. Mm-hmm. I'm already in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, zip it. Well, this has been so much fun.
Yeah.
I love it.
Me too. I love that you're having all this like ladies' time together to be empty nesters together.
And, yeah.
We are too.
Yep, it's a universal time and text and saying,
"Are you doing this with Austin? Is this what is Grant saying this?
Is Grant talking to you or responding to your text? How many days do I wait until I ask how he's doing?"
It's like we're back in high school talking about boyfriends
for sure.
Yeah,
it is.
Just a slightly different topic.
Is it a heart? Is it a thumbs up? Do I wait 2 hours before I respond?
Is it too little?
It's terrible when our kids text. Yeah,
I know. And then I ask my husband to do it. Like, here, you pass the note. I'm not going to pass it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we're grateful to you, and it's so wonderful to have your advice
and
to hear.
Thank you for having me.
And your show. We're so excited about your show. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to you guys.
Thank you. So tell people where they can find your show.
You can find Still the Place on iHeart.
Perfect.
Anywhere you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
Wonderful.
All Still the Place.
And watch out for the movie on Honeysuckle Lane.
Yeah, coming out.
Yep.
Again.
Yep. Enjoy it again.
Christmas. It's a great movie.
Ooh, I know. Right. Well, Christmas is coming.
I know. It's a fabulous movie. All right. Thank you again.
Thank you, ladies. So fun.
Bye.